Praise God that we may believe and recognize that this is the day that He has made. One could say that He made every day, that He is responsible for eternity and for time. And yet, there are very special days in God's plan of salvation, special periods of time, when things happen that have not always happened. And I believe that we can rightly say that we are now living in a very special time, and we may recognize this, perceive the things that are happening around us, and even more, categorize them biblically, and recognize from this how late it is on the world clock. I would like to welcome everyone sincerely and with a moved heart, but especially our brothers and sisters from the German Democratic Republic. Our neighboring brothers and sisters will not be able to fully understand how we feel, and we are delighted about the latest developments, about what has happened in recent months. It is a very different October Revolution from that of 1918, as we all know. And anyone who has read a little about recent history or is familiar with it knows how hopeless it was, what has now become reality before our eyes. And it may be that some people are not concerned about this at all, while others are wondering what will happen next. Let me make it clear to you, Holy Scripture has predicted that at the very end it will be said, peace and safety. Peace. There is no more danger. And that is why the Cold War must come to an end, and Europe must become a so-called continent of peace, and the division that ran through a country must be removed, and the blocks that stood opposite each other must be dissolved, so that the Word of God can be fulfilled completely. We do not want to go into details today. You all know I am inclined to explain the prophetic part of the plan of salvation. Perhaps, or certainly, because we are living in that time now. And it is not only important to talk about it, but to search the Bible in order to recognize everything that is happening. I was reminded of a passage from the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, I would like to read it in light of what has happened in recent months. Luke 1, verses 51-53. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. We certainly have nothing to do with politics here in this place, but I remember the day, only a few months ago, when the Secretary General said this wall will stand for 100 years. And lo and behold, it began to shake and is being dismantled. Many sat on thrones in many countries of Eastern Europe, and lo and behold, as it is written here, he casts down rulers from their thrones. None of them left of their own accord. They were all overthrown. Why? Because the time had come. Today, I reread two special notes from 1952, in which statements were made by political parties in this country. And when you think about it, how impossible it all seemed, and today, we are entering an era in a very short time into a development which, as I said earlier, is simply necessary in order to bring Revelation 17 and many other scriptures to fulfillment. I have already said and indicated, I actually prefer to speak about the prophetic word. The reason for this is indeed that Bible prophecy is now being fulfilled before our very eyes. And when we read Revelation in particular, which we have all done for years, we have certainly noticed how difficult it was to understand the symbols and images that are described and depicted there. But by the grace of God, He has not only given us revelation of His Word, He has also opened our spiritual understanding of Scripture. And that is very important. Imagine John seeing a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. That is absurd, one would say. Great Bible teachers have racked their brains over this, and others in our time have tried to classify the whole thing numerically, but they have not succeeded. Spiritual things must be seen, recognized, and understood spiritually. I am grateful to the Lord, especially for the prophetic ministry in which He has allowed us to share in this generation. I freely admit and confess before all that I would not have known many things if I had not heard them from the commissioned mouth, from the mouth of the One whom God has sent in our generation. I know that not everyone likes it, but we have to deal with the truth, especially in a holy place, the place where God's Word is proclaimed as truth. With God's help, I will explain a few things this weekend in order to highlight the tasks that God has given us as a church, and also the experiences that we as believers must have in order to be ready to serve the Lord. We cannot decide to do something and then do it. God must provide the calling, the equipment. He must work all things. With our power alone, nothing can be done. But He will, as He has promised, do the right thing at the right time in our days. The important thing is that we do not rush ahead of him, but also do not lag behind, but keep pace with the Lord and with the word that he reveals and shows us. May he grant this to us all. Today it is important to me that we read a prayer of repentance from the Word of God, namely from the prophet Daniel, and I will tell you why. We must all bow down before the Lord, bow down really deeply, confess our shortcomings before him, and ask him to be merciful to us, to be lenient, to forgive us, to speak to us, to have mercy on us anew, and to bless us. I believe that we all have the desire to come closer to the Lord, to have a more intimate fellowship with him, to feel anew that he is not far away, but near. I would like to ask that we all read Daniel chapter 9 together, from verses 4 to 19. I am not one of those who enjoy reading long chapters, but this is a prayer of that length, and so we will read it accordingly. May I ask everyone to stand up? I have a special request today. I would like to ask Michael Rus to read this. I am simply not a good reader. Would you please come to the front? Please be so kind. Let us read along reverently and listen. Daniel 9 from verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us, by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges, that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore has the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. We trust in thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do, defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Let us pray. Lord our God, we come before you with deep emotion, with petitions and supplications. We bring you our whole lives. You know us. You know where we live, who we are. You know whether we have been obedient or disobedient. You know us. As your prophet David said, thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Faithful Lord, take away everything, truly everything, that stands in your way. Make your own way to us. Do it through the power of your blood, through the power of your word, through the power of your spirit, O Lord. Beloved Savior, we wait for the restoration of all things. O Lord, look upon your people with mercy. Bless, Lord, your inheritance. Beloved Savior, grant us grace that we may know you, understand your word, that we may experience the work of thy Spirit anew. Beloved Lord, forgive us and be gracious. How often have we not heeded your word, have not listened to what your prophets have spoken, have thought ourselves wiser. Beloved Lord, have mercy on us. Be gracious to us. We bear your name, which you have revealed to us. We bear your word, which you have given us. And we ask you, Lord, to look upon us with mercy and bless us all in a mighty way for the glory and praise of your holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know that it is good to bow before the Lord. There were people who did so in sackcloth and ashes, recognizing that God is holy and that they had simply fallen short and did not walk in all his ways and did not do what was pleasing to him. Here, in the same chapter, in Daniel 9, verse 20, we read Daniel 9, from verse 20, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. I will perhaps read further. I would have expected us all to open our mouths and pray to God. Believe me, we need to. From the first to the last, whoever we may be, perhaps some think we have not committed any gross or great sins. It is enough to murmur, to offend God, to complain about many things we do not like, and so on. The Lord wants us to move forward in unity, in His name, grounded in His word, bearing one another in love, praying for one another, and asking God to give us everything He has promised in His word. And not only that, to give us what He gave the church in the beginning, and if it is His will, a double measure of what was in the beginning. We believe that we need this, because never before has the presumption of people been as great as it is now. Never before have people thought so highly of themselves and gone so far as to blaspheme God, even to touch God. I have already mentioned this here, and also last Sunday in Zurich. It has simply gone so far that even in theology, people are exceeding all bounds and no longer know what they are doing. I have mentioned or said that at various church conferences, God was accused of being male and not female. I have the cassette in my office. I have magazines in which this was reported. Women who took the podium voiced their complaints that they had been excluded for so long, blaming God for taking the side of men because He Himself is male, and so on. I mentioned it briefly here when I spoke to an 83-year-old lady a few days ago near Garmisch-Partenkirchen, a woman who had been in the parliament for years and knew all the big names in politics, and who had also been a member of the Munich State Parliament for years. And she attended an event at which a Protestant pastor was to say the closing prayer. And lo and behold, he did not pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." He prayed, "Our Mother who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." One has to let that sink in, how far people can forget themselves. As I said, there is no measure. And we see, and please do not take this as an attack, but we see it in Roman Catholicism, that Mary is just being emphasized and glorified in an incomprehensible way, as never before in almost 1,600 years. The Protestants follow suit, making God half female, half male, in order to find a consensus. God is watching, but not for much longer. He will judge all the presumptuousness of men, all those who want to correct him. He will correct them. Brother Rus, read the opening word from the prophet Isaiah 45. And there it has already been foretold that every knee will bow before him, and every tongue will pay homage to him and confess him. I will read it again. Isaiah 45, from verse 23. Isaiah 45, verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, or confess whatever. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. God has a time for everything, a day for everything. Even this time in which pride is flourishing is permitted by God. It pains us beyond measure. In the article I read, it says that God created women so that they could not be circumcised, and therefore, God created everything well, man and woman. No one could have done it better. God could not have done it better. What he has created is perfect. All the know-it-alls have not been able to make a single suggestion for improvement to this day. Thanks be to the Lord that we can believe simply and childishly, but we do believe as the scriptures say. And because we believe as the scriptures say, we believe in God who has left us his word. I would like to read a few scriptures from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, I mean 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And then move on to this part of our word reflection. We are not here just to register what others are doing wrong. We are here to be taught by God, to examine our standing before him, to compare our experiences with the Bible, to know whether they really stand up to the testimony of Holy Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As mentioned earlier, it is absolutely necessary, whether it be the prophetic part, the doctrinal part, whatever, that Holy Scripture is not taken out of context, but is put into the right context, that every experience, every event is put where it belongs. If we do not do this, we can very quickly come to conclusions that are not correct at all. And that is why it is really necessary. You will see why this is emphasized. Here it is said, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, not to men, but approved unto God. What man would be capable of appearing approved before God? There is no such person. But God, in His grace, can give enlightenment, revelation, inspiration through the Holy Spirit, so that we are not sure of the matter, but that the Holy Spirit reveals things to us, and the Word of God is certain. And when it has been revealed to us, then it shines. Then we see the light in the midst of darkness. Here, in verse 12, perhaps we can read verses 11 and 12, perhaps up to 13, 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13, to get the context. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Even if there are phases in our lives when we are not as faithful to the Lord as we should be, when we are not as passionate as we should, not as zealous as we should be, not really making all our time and talents available to Him, becoming lukewarm and sluggish, then God is faithful to send His word again, to stir us up and shake us, to revive us, so that we may be fervent in spirit to serve Him. Let us pause briefly at this word. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. You all know that death is an unpleasant thing, and people who are getting older and do not have peace with God can be incredibly afraid of death. But this is about something else, not physical death, but being crucified with Christ, dying with Him, being buried with Him, and rising with Him to a new life. That is what this is about. Having died with Christ, so that our own ego does not keep reappearing, but that we are truly dead with Christ, not just seemingly dead. And we can only do that if we understand, as Paul writes, that our old self, with all its desires and actions, has been crucified with Christ. And then he could also say, the life I now live, I no longer live for myself, but Christ lives in me. And he went on to write, Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. But if we have not died with him, we cannot live with him either. The first must come first, before the second can appear. Who has truly died to himself? I believe the letter is still on my desk, in which a 43-year-old brother writes and apologizes and asks for understanding that he is no longer a young man, and he writes that he has not found work among believers and must work among unbelievers, but that he has no control over himself and that he has to laugh along with them when jokes are told and so on. And he writes, as a cry for help, pray for me, that God will help me to die to the world, not to have to participate, but to separate myself from these things. It became a problem for him. Jesus said, ye are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And the world, with all its attractions, will pass away, but whoever does the will of God will remain forever. We must be witnesses wherever we are and resist the things that truly belong to the world and be dead to the world in order to live with Christ. There is a very special scripture about this in Colossians, in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, one of the most wonderful passages on this subject. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are in this world. We go about our daily business, eating and drinking and everything that goes with it. We drive our cars and so on. But we realize that we are detached from these things. We only need what we have and nothing more. We do not need what others have, but only what we ourselves have. That is what we need and nothing more. It goes on in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It is really about not just talking about becoming a believer and about completion, transformation, and rapture. There are things that must happen to us and in us before the final and conclusive can happen. And believe me, we all need a biblical baptism with spirit and fire. We all need God to burn away what he does not like and to anoint what he has at his disposal so that we can become useful vessels for his glory. Great things must happen this weekend. Before the great things can happen, a holy sorrow must seize us, an inner need must take hold of us, a holy dissatisfaction and a holy realization that Christ has not yet been able to reveal himself in our lives as he would like to. Do we all admit this? We admit it. We are honest enough not to deceive ourselves or others. I will read it again. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. But if he is not revealed in our lives, then we will not appear with him in glory. That is the point at issue. Whenever we read such words in Scripture, we must always ask ourselves whether this has already happened or not. If Christ, our life, is to be revealed, then yes. If not, then what? Just as it is written in Romans, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, then he shall also quicken your mortal bodies. But if this power of the Spirit does not dwell in mortal bodies, which are supposed to be temples of God, then what? Then the body cannot be transformed. And so we see the urgent need as believers and those baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to truly experience a baptism of the Spirit as it was experienced in the beginning. Then the prerequisite will have been created that Christ can reveal himself in our lives. Look, he was born as the Son of God, but then, on the day of his baptism, the heavens opened and the Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What was it? It was the commissioning into ministry. Through the new birth, we become children of God, but through the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ for ministry. Before that, we can think about ministries, but we cannot carry them out. It is said of our Lord that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and that he then went forth, did good, preached the gospel, and healed the sick, as we are told in the Holy Scriptures. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, we are truly facing the greatest challenge of all time and the greatest task ever set before the church. And that is why it is indeed urgently necessary that we experience God as a whole, not just individuals, but truly all of us. And the songwriter sings so beautifully, Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. We are grateful for all the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are grateful for every revelation that has been given to us through the Spirit. The Spirit works in various and manifold ways. The Spirit convicts of sin, of judgment. He convinces. The Holy Spirit works on the believers. He renews. He brings about a new birth. But then, the pure vessel is to be filled with power from on high. These were the words of our Lord. Stay in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. If we have indeed understood that we have arrived at the end of time, the time of grace, and that the church has truly been entrusted with the last great task, then we must ask God to equip us so that we don't make fools of ourselves, but so that God can confirm His word by signs and wonders following. How many would like to experience that? Amen, all of us. And it will begin with us. You will see this from the further reflections tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon, if the Lord wills, that God has not yet changed His program, that everything has remained the same gospel, the same experiences, the same side effects, as they were in the beginning, so must they be at the end. Our Lord is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing can change with God. Please, let us take the word seriously. Does it still speak to us? Does it touch our hearts? Does it penetrate until it separates soul and spirit, marrow and bone? Does it show us the necessity of the things that matter now? Or are we still looking left and right for a way to get through somehow? It doesn't work. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And He said it. And John had already announced it. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, and he was before me, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If only it could be spoken into our hearts today, fresh from the mouth of our Lord. Let no one think that this is a sermon about the baptism of the Spirit, but let us understand that it is the Lord Himself who gave the promise, and it is He who fulfills it. For thus it is written, that He baptizes with a Spirit and fire. It is necessary, believe me, that we hear and receive the Word of God as the Word of God in a completely new way, with all seriousness and in perfect faith, and then move it and keep it in our hearts until we actually see it fulfilled. You know, I told the Lord that I don't just want to preach. That is, I have to. I don't want to. I have to preach. I would have stopped long ago, but I must do it because I was called to do so. But I told the Lord that I do not want to just preach. I want to preach in such a way that those who have heard the word from my mouth will also be with the Lord. I do not want to be accused at the last judgment by people to whom I did not tell the whole truth. On the contrary, I want to proclaim the whole counsel of God. And I also want us to experience what is contained in this counsel of God. You know, I already said this here at my last meeting in January in Nairobi, when several hundred people were invited to a large Pentecostal church on Monday evening, namely all those who had been converted through the proclamation. Thousands came to hear the word. And on Monday evening, the new converts were invited. And my flight was not until midnight. And I took the opportunity to speak to these people. I knew that it was a Trinity church. I heard the man praying in the name of, and then it went down to the end. But I had no choice. I had to proclaim the truth, including biblical water baptism. You cannot be considerate when it comes to the precious souls of people. You can be considerate of people, not run them over or to demand too much from them. But when it comes to proclaiming the word of God, Paul writes in Galatians 1 verse 10, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You cannot please God and people at the same time. We read it earlier. We should be approved by God. What is actually approved by God? His word is approved by Him. It is purified. It is pure. It is holy. And we proclaim this precious word as it was proclaimed in the beginning. And whoever wants to be saved can be saved. Whoever wants to become a believer can become a believer. Whoever wants to be born again can be born again. And whoever wants to be baptized in the Spirit can be baptized in the Spirit. If I had to do all this, or we as brothers had to do it, it would not be feasible. It is the Lord who wants to work everything in all of us. And so thoroughly, this weekend, letting us really sit at His feet and letting His teaching come upon us like a refreshing rain, so that when we go along with it inwardly, and I tell you this now, every person who wants to experience something with God must go along with a proclamation, with a word inwardly. They must attune themselves inwardly in order to be able to receive it. Those who remain indifferent will receive nothing, nor will those who seek a way to get around it, either to the right or to the left. But those who simply say in their hearts, "Faithful Lord, this is the truth. So it is. Your word says so. Here we are. Here I am. And as we are, we come before your holy face." And then the Spirit of God begins to work. Then all unbelief, all doubt, everything is taken from us. Even the arguments about events that took place somewhere, somehow, where those who already had the Spirit of God went astray, we will forget everything and suddenly stand before the Lord and ask Him to grant us by His grace what He has promised. First of all, we want to ask Him to give us this experience to truly place our will into His will, to die with Him so that our life may come to an end and He may begin to live through us, our own ego, our own ways, and that He may come into His own and bless us and give us what He has promised. You may say that this is a sermon for newcomers, new or old. Will God say two different things? He will always say the same thing. Paul wrote, "Don't be annoyed that I always write the same thing to you." Can we write anything else? To tell you always the same thing, can we say anything else? No, we can only say what Scripture says and pass on what is written in it. Blessed is the person who can truly give up all inner resistance, forgetting all his own disappointments that he had with others, and face the Lord and say, "Faithful God, here I am. Your word says so. I want to experience you. I want to receive what you have promised, what you want to give." And then the Holy Scriptures say, "He himself, our Lord, has said it. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it?" It is a real experience with God, a supernatural experience, when the Spirit of God comes upon us. And when He comes upon us, He also reveals Himself. Then it manifests itself, as it did in the beginning. God is faithful. In the end, He can only be what He was in the beginning. He must be the same. And I say it again. When we have recognized the time in which we live, and also the task that has been set before us, for it is no longer a secret that we can proclaim the word, whether in Warsaw or Leningrad or Prague or Leipzig, where we want, in Sofia, wherever. And all this must happen. Where are we with the equipment for this very task that God has set and given us? And believe me, when it is written, the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations, then it must be preached. Then there is no way around it. And the gospel must be the everlasting gospel, as it is written in Revelation. And I ask you, who has the everlasting gospel today? The unadulterated, unaltered, original word of God, as it came from the mouth of God and from the mouth of the apostles. They only passed on what they received from Him. If this gospel is to be preached, then only by those who have received it themselves, to whom it has been revealed and entrusted. Only they can be sent out with it. I would simply like to emphasize this so that we recognize the urgency of truly experiencing God in His fullness. Let no one rest on their laurels, but let us all come before the Lord God with heartfelt prayer and ask Him to do for us what He did for our brothers and sisters in the beginning. He is faithful. He will do it. I have one final request. May no one withdraw or shut themselves off. Let us all sincerely thank our God for drawing us to Himself, for allowing us to become His own, for pardoning us and forgiving our sins. I may be getting a little ahead of myself here, but this is the only way people can experience the baptism of the Spirit, not when they pray at length, "O God, give me your Spirit," but when they give thanks for what happened on Calvary and immerse themselves in it and praise and magnify the Lord. Then the Spirit rests upon the blood-bought multitude who believe the word. There are three that bear witness: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The blood-bought multitude has received the word of God, and the Holy Spirit comes down to bear witness, to fill us all, so that our mouths overflow, and to seal us, so that our hearts are strengthened, which happens by grace. To Him, our God, be praise and honor, glory and worship from our hearts in advance, for we know that He will do it. If we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. And that is what we want: to give ourselves to death so that He can live and work in us and through us. All to the glory and praise of His holy name. Amen. Let us stand. We bow our heads, are devout in prayer. Open our hearts before God. Brother Rus just sang the chorus, "Being young is beautiful, but being saved is even more beautiful." May we ask everyone tonight, all young people, to dedicate their young lives to the Lord. Do not believe that the world has more to offer you. The world has nothing but misery and hardship to offer you. It only embellishes this hardship and misery, disguises it, makes it attractive so that it is not seen, but then it comes to light. The world is passing away with its lusts. Only those who do the will of God remain forever. It would be wonderful if God's word had spoken to some of you, and I'm sure that it has. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. The Lord still speaks. He calls. He wants to save, forgive. We sing the chorus, "Just as I am," and then I ask you to end your inner struggle and make your decision for the Lord. For truly he has spoken, he has called, and you should follow this holy call of God in order to die with him and then live with him. This is the beginning of becoming a believer, the beginning of following Jesus Christ. Let us sing together, and let all of us who are here truly believe that God can work and will do so. How many of you young people believe that he did it, accomplished it on Calvary, and is now accomplishing it in you who believe? Let us all raise our hands a little as a sign of consecrating ourselves to the Lord, surrendering to him, to serve and follow him. Let us sing it once more. Let us bow our heads and remain in prayer. Let me ask, how many here would like to consciously dedicate their lives to the Lord now? Please raise your hand briefly. Thank you. God bless you all. Are there any young people here who have been touched by this, but who have not yet completely surrendered and dedicated their lives to the Lord? Would you like to do so? Please raise your hand. Is anyone there? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. The Lord is calling. He wants to forgive. He is merciful. It is still the time of grace. Praise his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you from my heart, and we all thank you for your precious and holy word. It is a light on our path, our guideline, our answer to all questions. Thank you for your word, O Lord, which remains forever. Beloved Lord, we thank you that you have spoken. We thank you that you have drawn us to yourself and saved us. We thank you that there is still the time of grace, Lord, and that we can come to you to find forgiveness, grace, and salvation. Beloved Lord, to you, our faithful God, we give our heartfelt thanks. Faithful Savior, grant us a movement through your Spirit, a work from heaven, supernatural, through your word and through your Spirit, in the blood-bought multitude. Rekindle the fire, O Lord. Pour oil into the lamps. Revive your work. Make us victorious. Yes, glorify thy name. Confirm your word, O Lord. Deliver the captives. Save the lost. Faithful Lord. And heal the sick. Beloved Savior, confirm thy word in this way too. For even cancer, caused by a demon, cannot stand before you. Every demon must flee before you, must depart in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus is the victor over Satan, over death, over sickness, over everything. Beloved Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We sing hallelujah to you, the faithful Lord. Together we lift up your holy name, for you have done great things for us. Our sins are forgiven. We are free. We are free. Christ gave us life. We are free. We are free. Through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Lord, in your name, remission of sins should be preached to all nations. Today, here in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, forgiveness of sins and eternal life are proclaimed. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to you, who has broken Satan's power, broken it. Hallelujah. The captives are free. The lost are saved. The sick are healed. For so says the holy word of our God.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faithful Lord, I thank you that you have begun to work. The smoking flags you did not quench. The bruised reed you have not broken. You have straightened it so that the oil of the Spirit can flow anew and the smoking flags can become a flame. Beloved Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We worship you. Hallelujah. And all say, hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship to our Lord, our God, now and forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.